AM 1160 The Quest welcomes you to Legislation Made Simple, keeping you informed on political issues, primarily legislative issues in the Georgia General Assembly, but also some national issues that implicate the teachings of the church. Issues critical to restoring and protecting a culture that enable families to flourish and the kingdom of God to advance. Your hosts are Patty DeCraney and Jane Robbins. Jane worked at the Georgia Legislature and has maintained her connections there, so she's plugged in under the gold dome. Now, here's Jane and Patty.
Welcome to Legislation Made Simple. My name is Patty, and I'm here with Jane to give you an update on the bills we are following. Last Friday, March 6th, was Crossover Day. This is a day that bills had to pass either the House or the Senate to stay alive this session. Dozens of bills crossed over, but many others failed and are effectively dead unless their language gets attached to another bill. The legislature now moves into the final phase before sine die, which is the last day of the session, and that's on April 2nd, Holy Thursday. Many people under the Gold Dome say the biggest battles are actually coming in the next 2.5 weeks before sine die. And we know this, Jane, don't we?
Oh, yes.
Yep, we get so crazy there. We always begin our show with invoking the intercession of the great St. Thomas More, the patron saint of politicians, lawyers, and our show. St. Thomas More, pray for us. All right, Jane, let's get started on this update on the bills that we're still talking about. Let's start off with one of the best failures.
Sometimes you win by what you defeat as well as what you get past. Yeah, this was on gambling because we've been following that and we've had people talking on our show about that. So what happened here was that last year, in 2025, there were a couple of bills that were introduced about gambling. And nothing happened with them last year, despite all of the lobbying on behalf of the Las Vegas companies. So this year, those bills were still there. So what happened was nothing until Crossover Day. And then all of a sudden on Crossover Day at 8 a.m., there was a committee hearing in which one of those bills, actually it was the resolution to put the issue of sports gambling on the ballot for a constitutional amendment. That came up in the committee at 8 o'clock on Crossover Day. So there had been some rumblings about that, but nobody really knew what the strategy was. Well, that told what the strategy was.
Surprise.
Yes. So the committee passed it quickly out of the House, and then it had to go to the Rules Committee, which it did, and usually things will languish in the Rules Committee for a while. This one went in and out, out, and then it went to the House floor, and it got there late Friday night, and it had to get a two-thirds majority, because for a constitutional amendment, if they're going to send it to the people, they have to have a two-thirds majority in both chambers of the legislature. Not only did it not get a two-thirds majority vote, but it fell 20-something votes short of even getting a majority vote in the House. The vote was 63 in favor, 98 against. So that, to me, was surprising. Maybe other people weren't surprised, but I was. So essentially, unless something really strange happens, the gambling issue for sports gambling is dead, because I don't see how they're going to bring this back up. They clearly don't have the votes for it in the House, and I doubt they have it in the Senate. So I think it's going to be next year.
Okay. So just dead for this year.
That's what I think. Anything can happen. It's not dead. It's not you know, the monster in the horror movie yet, but we're pretty close.
Well, the monster in the horror movie wakes up again.
Well, he always does.
He keeps coming alive again.
He does, but then they always kill him at the end,
they? Yeah, okay. So let's hope this is...
We're not at the end yet, but we're pretty close.
We're pretty close. We did have John Kent on 2 weeks ago explaining the dangers of allowing legalized gambling in Georgia, as well as some concerning changes on the federal level he spoke about. If interested, go to our website, thequestatlanta.com, to listen to the podcast. Another couple of bills we would like to see fail regarding marijuana. Please tell us about, Jane.
There are a couple of bills right now. Well, first of all, let me start with the church's position on marijuana. And if you're interested in reading that, which probably says pretty much what you would expect it to say, is paragraph 2292 of the Catechism. So the bills that we are looking at that are concerning are SB 220. This is a bill that greatly expands the allowable use of so-called medical marijuana. For example, it adds other medical conditions that would qualify for your getting a marijuana card, such as insomnia and arthritis.
Pain
is already there, so I don't know why they have to add arthritis, but if pain is there, anybody can say that, you know, my back hurts. So anyway,
I don't believe it helps inflammation.
There is no evidence that it does, to my understanding.
All right.
So this bill is perhaps misguided, but it has been in the it's passed the Senate. It has passed the committee in the House, and we heard as we record today, it is Thursday morning before we're airing this show on Saturday, and we have heard that SB 220 is supposed to be on the House floor this morning. So I'm waiting for news about that. Once we find out what happened, if anything, if it did in fact go to the floor, we'll put it on our chart on our website so that people can see what happened with that bill. Now, the other one that is sort of problematic is SB 254. This one has some good things in it. It has some ad restrictions on marijuana products and that kind of thing, but it also expands the outlets that can sell the stuff, all the hemp products, into liquor stores. And SB 254 also has no limits on serving size or THC, which is the psychoactive ingredient in cannabis. So this bill, 254, is now in the House Regulated Industries Committee. And if you're interested in that, you can call the members of the committee and express your opinion. So there were two bad bills that were that went down in flames in committee last week, and those were both opposed by the people that we have talked to about medical marijuana and other recreational marijuana, because one of these bills would have legalized recreational marijuana, and the other one would have prohibited the police from using the smell of marijuana as probable cause to continue an investigation in a car or something like that. Both of those bills were defeated in committee, so that was a good thing.
There is a really good marijuana bill that we've been supporting and wish it had already been voted on and signed by the governor.
Yes, that's right. Right? Why don't they listen to us, Patty?
I don't know.
This one is SB 33. This is a good bill that would limit the intoxicating hemp products that you've seen in convenience stores probably and that look very much like they're marketed to children. They say that they're not, but they look exactly like candy. So what do you think?
Yeah, they do. And they have names very similar.
Yes, they do.
To it.
So this SB 33 would put some limits on that, and it would line the Georgia law up with federal law now about the kinds of limits that you have on certain ingredients in these products. This bill, SB 33, is supposedly going to be heard in the House Agriculture Committee. It's been postponed again and again and again, so please call the members of the committee, maybe especially the chairman of that committee, to see if we can get that bill on the road.
Now, are all of these bills going to the House to be voted on?
Yes.
All right, so they've already passed the Senate.
Correct.
So you want to call your representative for each one of these. It's not too late, even for the one that's on the floor right now. Call and leave a message for your representative, your House representative, and say you don't want these and you do want SB 33. So the problem with the marijuana bills is that people don't understand them. So with all of the educating that we've tried to do with some of the podcasts that we have here on The Quest.
One this year with the representative from Georgians for Responsible Marijuana Policy.
Yes, go, and you can go to their website, That would be a really quick way to get there, is to go to their website and look at the information and explain to them what, explain to your representative why we don't want more marijuana here in our state. And that's really about any of the bills that we're talking about. It's not too late. Make phone calls in opposition or for.
Well, Patty, we have late-breaking developments here. We had just talked about SB 220, right, which is the one that greatly expands the allowable use of so-called medical marijuana. We have found out that it just passed the House floor.
No.
Yes, it did, which means it's out of the House. Now, what I don't know is whether the House changed any of the wording on it, in which case it would have to go back to the Senate for that. But if they didn't change it, then it's just going to the governor's desk. And so we'll find out. We'll clarify this and let you know where your calls could be most valuable.
Okay. Ever-changing. Even as we sit here recording.
That's right.
Jane, tell us about the obscenity bills.
There are a couple of bills that we have looked at. One of them that we've talked about a good bit is SB 74. This is the one that would provide that Georgia obscenity law would apply to materials in libraries, public libraries and school libraries, because right now there's an exemption for them. So it is legal in the state to provide obscenity to children as long as you do it through a library, which is as wild as it sounds.
Yes, it just seems common sense.
Mm-hmm. But SB 74 passed the Senate last year. It has passed the House committee this year. It's sitting in the Rules Committee, which is the gatekeeping committee to get bills to the floor, and it needs a push. So if you can call the speaker and ask him to get it to the floor, because the speaker can do that, and we will put his phone number in our show notes.
If you just tuned in, you are listening to Legislation Made Simple on AM 1160, The Quest. There's less than 3 weeks of the 2026 Georgia legislative session left. Whoa, it has really flown.
Yeah.
It is really, and it's crazy right now until the end. Jane and I are talking about the bills that are still alive and how you can help them pass or fail.
And there was one other obscenity bill that I was going to mention.
Oh, yes.
This is HB 171, and this would be a less controversial bill. It clarifies that child pornography that is filmed or created with AI rather than with an actual child is still against Georgia obscenity law. So this seems to be another common sense kind of thing. This bill passed the House, and then last year, I think also, it's passed the Senate committee, but it didn't make it through to the end. So the bill is still in the Senate Rules Committee. So if you want to make sure that that bill gets moved, HB 171, you could call the members of the Rules Committee in the Senate.
What about the life issues that we have?
There are several bills. One is HB 1275. This bill would prohibit the use of aborted fetal cells in research. This passed the House. It is now in the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. So we would urge you to call members of Senate Health and Human Services to tell them what you think about HB 1275. Then there's also HB 350, and we talked about this when we had Suzanne Guy on the show.
Mm-hmm.
This would is called the Baby Box Bill. This bill would authorize and create facilities that are protective, safe spaces for, say, a mother to leave her newborn child, and the bill creates all of the conditions for it, that it would be monitored constantly, and so somebody would be there to pick up the baby within minutes if that happened. So this is the Baby Box Bill. It's in Senate Health and Human Services. We think that it's a fairly popular bill,
right,
that nonpartisan. So call, please, the members of Senate Health and Human Services
to move it forward.
Right. And then there's the last bill that we have watched, which is HB 1138, and we had Brenda Stoll on to talk about this one. this would allow essentially over-the-counter contraceptives, even for minors, minor, without parental permission, as long as for minors, at least they would have to have a prescription. But then the pharmacist could dispense the drug, and then that would go on forever and ever, that every 6 months or whatever, the pharmacist could just do it again or do the injection if it's that kind of contraceptive.
They don't need to go see a doctor.
They do not need to go see a doctor. The idea is to make it as easy as possible for anyone, any girl or any woman to get contraceptives, even if the contraceptives may be causing physical harm that the patient is not aware of. So this bill did pass the House. It is now in the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. So here's another one that you could call Senate Health and Human Services about to ask them to please rethink this before they push this bill.
There's an important bill on puberty blockers we're fighting for and have been fighting for. In January 2024, the legislature passed a bill prohibiting wrong sex hormones and surgeries for trans-identifying minors, but puberty blockers were still allowed. Our show next weekend will include Dr. Quentin Van Meter, who will explain the dangers of puberty blockers in adolescence. But Jane, tell us where this bill sits right now.
Right now, the bill had sort of reached a roadblock. This would correct the mistake that they made 2 years ago in eliminating the puberty blockers from that bill. So they wouldn't put it back in, but they were having trouble getting that through. So what they did was they took another House bill that had passed, and then they expanded the language to include the puberty blocker language. So what has to happen here now, without going into all the weeds of it, is that because the Senate made changes to the House bill that had already passed, it has to go back to the House, and the House votes to agree or disagree to the Senate changes. Hmm. Right now, we're trying to get it to the floor so that the House will do that, and we hope that the House members will agree to it rather than disagree to it. So you could do two things on HB 54. You could call your House representative and ask him or her to vote to agree. You can also call the Speaker and say, get this bill on the floor so that your representative can do that.
All right. Thank you. We need your help out there. What about the religious liberty bills?
There's really only one religious liberty bill. Well, there's I guess a few, but probably that are not going anywhere because they haven't even had a committee vote yet. But the one that is still in play is SB 591, which prohibits a disruption of a religious service. I think people are aware of what happened in Minneapolis some time ago, where protesters invaded the church service and kind of took over things. So there's a bill, SB 591, that would make it clear that that's not allowed in Georgia. So right now, SB 591 has passed the Senate, and it is now in the House Judiciary Non-Civil Committee, which is a long-winded way of saying House Judiciary Criminal Committee. So that's where it is. And as of the day we're doing this, Thursday morning, it has not moved out of committee. So you could call the members of House Judiciary Non-Civil.
Okay. And let them know to push it forward.
Yes.
The education bills that we're following, what about them?
There's one called SB 497, which we haven't really talked a lot about, but it passed the Senate. It's now in the House Education Committee. SB 497 would require schools to notify parents when their children have received what is called non-instructional services from people at the school. And that would include counseling. It would include medical services of any kind. The reason for this bill is that there are many places in the country where things are happening to children at school that are being withheld from parents, whether it's treating a child as the opposite sex because that's what the child wants to be treated, but then they hide it from the parents, or perhaps getting some sort of medical service that the parents don't know about. So this bill would just require that any time that your child has this counseling service, the bill excludes your basic counseling, what we always remember from guidance counselors, which was, should I take this course or that course, how to get a scholarship to whatever. It would exclude that, but the kinds of services they're talking about are mental health counseling, that mm-hmm. sort of thing, mm-hmm. that the parents would need to be notified that that's happening. So this bill, as I said, did pass the Senate. It's in the House Education Committee. So please call the members of that committee if you're mm-hmm. interested in that one.
That's another one that it should just be common sense. I mean, we didn't used to have a law to control this.
It was back when parents weren't considered adversaries. But the reason for it that is given by the people who oppose the bill is that, well, some kids have bad home situations and their parents might react really negatively to finding out something about the child. And this is a way of just doing least common denominator. But we're going to treat all parents as abusive unless we're told otherwise. Mm. And so we're going to make sure that parents who love their children dearly, which is the vast majority of parents, will be kept in the dark. So that's what the bill is aimed at.
And we believe that we are their teachers.
That's right. We are the first educators, the primary educators of our children.
That's right. A friend recently shared the bills that the oldest Catholic charity, St. Vincent de Paul, are following. Would you explain those changes briefly?
Yes, I looked at these bills very briefly because I'm really not that familiar with them, but I will tell you these are the ones that St. Vincent de Paul is interested in. So I'll tell you a little bit about them, and then you can look them up or contact your St. Vincent de Paul representative if you're interested in more information. One is called HB 689. This is a bill that would establish and fund a program for prevention of homelessness. And I can't give you a lot of details about it, but I know that it passed the House, and it's now in the Senate Government Oversight Committee. So you can contact members of that committee if you're interested in that bill. There is another bill, HB 61, that deals with tenants' rights and squatters and people who are in property owners' houses or properties, and how to get them out, and what are the tenants' rights. So I've now told you everything I know about this bill, except that it has passed the House, and it's now in the Senate Public Safety Committee. So if you want to find out more about this, you can look up the bill on the Georgia legislative website or call members of the Senate Public Safety Committee, and that is HB 61. And then lastly, there is a resolution in the House, H.R. 1392, that is designed to put a proposed constitutional amendment on the ballot in November that would provide property tax relief to owners of low-income rental properties. And I suppose the thinking behind this is that you would increase the supply of low-income rental properties mm-hmm. if you give some property tax relief to the owners. So this bill, as I understand it, as we sit here on Thursday, is in the House Ways and Means Committee. So you could contact members of that committee if you're interested in that. And, of course, you can always go to the Georgia legislative website to look up any bill. Just plug in the number and it'll pull up the bill, and you can read it and get more information. And also, in our show notes, we will put up a lot of links to how you find your representative, how you find committees, and that sort of thing.
And we also have an alert that requires immediate action. So be on the lookout for that.
Yes.
Thank you, Jane, so much for keeping us up to date on the ever-changing, fast and furious last few weeks of the 2026 Georgia legislative session. That's right. We don't need to pull our popcorn out yet, though.
Not yet. Patty will tell you when to do that.
Okay. Jane, would you close us in a prayer?
Yes, I will. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, thank you again for allowing us this insight into what's going on in governing ourselves. We ask that you would keep us in the mood to educate ourselves about what's happening so that we can affect the things that are going on under the Gold Dome. We ask you to please bless and protect all of the representatives and senators who are there and give them the discernment to know what's a good bill, what's a bad bill, and give them the courage to vote accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Legislation Made Simple, keeping you informed on political issues that implicate the teachings of the church. Listen again next week at this same time for Legislation Made Simple on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.